Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest.
Hey, before we jump into today's conversation, I have a couple questions. Do you have a favorite cookbook? How do you plan dinners for your family? Are you a meal prepper? Or do you go to the grocery store every day before you make a plan? I can't do that. That stresses me out even to think about it. I am a meal prepper. I love having our meals planned out for the week. And even better, I am a giant fan of Cassie Joy Garcia, who is better known on Instagram as Fed and Fit. Cassie's goal is to help families eat healthy and whole foods that taste really good and are even easier to make. They are quick, and let me tell you, Cassie makes me feel like a great cook. She uses flavors and good foods, and the whole family is happy when I get to cook her meals. I'm so excited to introduce you today to Cassie Joy Garcia, the author of my two favorite cookbooks, Cook Once, Eat All Week, and Cook Once, Dinner Fix. Cassie's here to share how she got started, why she got started, and how to use her cookbooks. I'm so excited for you to meet her. If you follow me on Instagram, you know that I absolutely live and die by these cookbooks. I just started using this new cookbook, Cook Once Dinner Fix, and let me tell you, the Tapleys are a huge fan. So grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in to today's conversation with my friend, Cassie Joy Garcia. Hey y'all, I am so excited and I just like kind of fangirled and gushed all over already, but I'll do it again, so it's totally fine. I don't know that I've ever been a fan of a cookbook this much, and I think that just shows my age, like that I'm this excited about a new cookbook. But today we're sitting down with Cassie Joy Garcia from Fed and Fit. Cassie, you have a new cookbook out.
I do.
I'm so excited. Like I said, I don't know what that says about my age, the kind of person I am, but your cookbook, Cook Once, Eat All Week, changed my life. Is that dramatic to say? I don't think it is. I don't
know. Oh, that I'm so honored. And that's what I wanted. I wanted it to be a helpful tool for folks.
Yeah. First, before we get into it all, what's in your cup? What are you drinking during our time together?
So I'm showing for proof. I have my iced coffee. I'm an iced coffee girl during these warmer months. You and I both are in Central Texas. And my husband brewed hot coffee this morning. My mother-in-law's in town and she likes hot coffee. And I do not dislike hot coffee, but it's, you know, when the thermometer is going to reach 90 to 100 degrees, I reach for this. So it's cold brew, chameleon cold brew, ice. And then I actually, Austin, my husband, schooled me on how to make a proper cup of cold brew. I used to, because, you know, if you're familiar, most cold brews, chameleon especially, is concentrated. So you want to cut it with water. And so I've always cut it with water, about half and half, water and cold brew, and then added cream. And then I sweeten my coffee with maple syrup because it dissolves so easily and quickly. But he said, forget the water and the heavy cream. And instead, he just cuts it half and half with whole milk, which I have on hand for our kiddos anyways. And it's delicious. So that's what I'm having.
I love that. That sounds good. It's probably a little bit richer, right?
It is. It's delightful. Maybe that's why I don't want because I like hot coffee black. I just prefer black hot coffee. And this is, it's like dessert.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was just at Disney World, which is just my life. Like, I really just love Disney World. And because it's so hot there, I drink iced coffee 90% of the time, while hot coffee is that, like, sense, like, it's just like that cozy feeling. The hot coffee, yeah. The cold coffee, you know, you just got to get it there. You just got to go for it. So,
yes, Totally. It feels like a much more, isn't it funny? It feels more efficient. Like, I just really need to drink some coffee right now, and I can drink this much faster than I can hot. But also, this stays temperature appropriate longer, whereas my hot coffee, I take 2.5 sips, and then I forget it until I have to microwave it again.
Yes, you are right. And you have children, so that makes it yes. It gets colder faster as soon as you add children to the mix. I just bought my best friend an Ember mug. Have you seen those? Like the they're like the hot plate with the mug that like keeps your coffee at a certain temperature.
Yes.
She homeschools. She's incredible. And she's a cookbook fan too. I just need you to know. She homeschools her. She has 5 kids and she homeschools 4 of them. And so I was like, you know what? You need a teacher gift this year. So I bought her that. And I was like, keep your coffee hot. Drink it all the way up.
Oh, what a thoughtful gift.
Oh, thank you. I was just mostly patting her on the back because she has so many children and needs a hot coffee. Oh, my goodness. Okay, Cassie, I want to know, and I don't think I know this, but I would love to hear your kind of like story with Fed and Fit. Like, how did you get into this world of healthy cooking and preparing meals and helping families like mine? I have 3 kids and a husband who we like to eat. And how did you start helping us?
Oh, I love that. I just want you to know how heartwarming it is the way you worded that question, because that is just on my heart to be able to want to help. And it's not, I think about sometimes like my job, and I feel like my purpose here is to provide thoughtful solutions for folks who really need it. Not to say that I have all the solutions by no stretch of the imagination. If I did, I would have no problems myself, and I have plenty of them. But, you know, where there's a way for me to intersect, you know, on something that I think I can research and figure out and test and try on for size and share it with other folks in a really thorough way, brings me a lot of joy. So it all started, I'll try to give you the very short version, but it all started about 10 years ago. I started Fed and Fit 10 years ago as a personal blog. We celebrated 10 years. I say we celebrated. There was no celebration. I passed 10 years this summer. I still need to celebrate. We were just going too fast at the time. Yeah. And I had started it as a personal blog to share about some of my lessons learned in nutrition and food. I had figured out, essentially, I joke that I took myself on as my first client, nutrition client, but I had figured out which foods to swap on my plate and which ones to add on to really help me start to feel better. And that's a kind of the shortest way I can tell that story. Be happy to tease it out more if you have more questions there. But as such, I was able to really turn my health around in my early 20s. And I didn't realize, I guess I really just didn't realize how unwell I was. And I also find that I tend to take the windiest path through all lessons learned. That's very kind of you to say.
Straight is easy. Let's go all the way.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I wound my way around. I kissed all the frogs, took all the wrong turns, not wrong turns, just not the right turns. And what I was left with was this, gosh, if I could help somebody, you know, maybe cut a few of those corners and help keep them from having to kiss a few of these frogs, what a privilege to be able to do that. And so I started Fed and Fit to be able to share some of those things. And it really blossomed over time. It took a long time. I still vividly remember the days where I would look at my website traffic and I would be like, ooh, 3 people were on my website today. And then I get a call from my mom and she'd be like, your dad and I both logged on and we loved the pasta dish.
Thank you.
I was like, oh, that was 2 of them. I was like, but there's 1 person I don't know. Yeah. And so it just, anyways, but that just kind of blossomed over time and really smart people. And I like to say that the Fed and Fit community is some of the most wonderful humans, but started landing on the page and asking really great questions and asking for, do you have a recipe for, I don't know, a taco casserole. I grew up loving this taco casserole and I would love one that's a little bit healthier. Or can you explain to me the difference between brown rice and white rice from a metabolic perspective? And these are all some of these questions I was like, gosh, that interests me too. I want to dig into that. And so I went back to school to become a holistic nutritionist so that I could be able to provide better answers in those regards. And then just kept working in the kitchen and developing recipes and chasing dishes and flavor combinations that I found interesting and that our readers were asking for. And then when it came to Cook Once, Eat All Week, my second book, it was an opportunity to provide essentially like we've spent all this time talking about nutrition, laying all the groundwork, right?
Yeah.
Nutrition and wellness and healthy lifestyles. And here's a bunch I had at that time almost, I think, 800 recipes on fedandfit.com. Lots of resources.
Yeah.
But I had not yet offered a way to implement, you know, some of these recipes in this way of living that really works for a lot of people. And so that became the first step in that direction. And it's just really blossomed in another great way.
I love that. One of the things I love so much about your stuff is it can be restricting. And I think it's really interesting that you came up during like the really big Whole30 boom, because a lot of your recipes can be made Whole30. They can be made paleo, all of those things. But you also like have delicious cookie bar recipes. Like, so you have shown me that like there's balance to be had here. And eating healthy does not mean lacking flavor. And those two things have really, really helped me as like, there's times where I'm like, I want to eat all the pasta that I can and all this stuff. And, you know, the lack of discipline that we can have. Mm-hmm. But there's also really, really awesome ways to eat and to nourish our bodies. And that's one thing, like nourishing our body from like a healthier mindset is really what I've kind of taken away from your books and everything that you do online. It's not just your books. It's how you present content online as well. So I just love that so much. I feel like a really good cook when I cook your food because you show me about flavors.
I love that. That makes me so happy. I was, you know, my mother-in-law, she was with us this weekend, like I said. Yesterday was Labor Day and I was home and I'm not a good rester. It is definitely not. That's an area for me to grow into, is to rest. But I was like, let's bake. Let's cook. And I made these spice cake cupcakes. And then I cooked a couple of dinners from Cook One's Dinner Fix. And I was showing it online. And my mother-in-law was like, what are you doing showing these cupcakes? And there's 4 cups of powdered sugar in that frosting. And I was like, Kathy, it's about the whole thing. Like, if I'm going to eat it, I'm going to share about it. And if it resonates with somebody, great. And if it doesn't, they'll move on. But at the end of the day, everybody needs to make their own decisions about what's right in their lifestyle. So I've really tried to always, to your point, show that you can, you don't have to stick to one particular lane if you have a craving for others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Because I think we've been so restrictive. And I think that's where I have failed probably in my like journey is like I have been so, so restrictive that then I, when I'm no longer restrictive, I'm like balls to the walls. Like, yeah. Like there's no control, there's no discipline. And that's when that like turnaround is a little bit harder. Do you find that to be the case too?
Totally. Yes. And I go through those cycles myself. And I still live in them. It's hard to not go through, like, for example, pregnancy and postpartum. I'm pregnant with my third right now, and I feel like I've been pregnant or freshly postpartum, and I have, not feel like, I have for the last 4 years.
Factual.
I have. And, you know, that brings with it its own, you know, weird cycle of body needs. And as much as I understand how to interpret my body's cues and what it's telling me it needs and wants, and I lean into those, there's still seasons where I'm adjusting from, you know, not breastfeeding as much, right? And my metabolic needs are less. And it's like, what does that mean? And how do I readjust my habits without slipping into disordered eating, which is I have a history of. And so it is it's a thing to constantly be aware of, and also not do perfectly, and just know that that's okay.
Yeah.
Man, I think that that speaks to like resting and doing things like that striving mentality is definitely where I struggle. But also that striving mentality totally pays off when on Sunday afternoons I cook 3 meals for my family for the week. It Heck just yeah. helps me so much. Before we move on to cook once dinner fix, tell me, do you have a favorite meal from Cook Once Eat All Week or favorite week?
Oh my gosh.
I can tell you straight up what mine is, but I'll let
What's
you
What's yours?
First.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You tell me first.
You answer first.
Oh my gosh. You know, the one that I probably make the most is the, and it's, I'm not a low carb person by any stretch of the imagination, but it's actually one of the lower carb weeks in there. It was the cauliflower and the chicken. And you make the cauliflower balsamic chicken sheet pan dinner. And the loaded cauliflower mashed casserole over the chicken. That cauliflower mash is the creamiest cauliflower mash I still have ever had. And then the last one is those stuffed avocados. I love that series. I mean, I've wind up supplementing it at home with quinoa and other things, you know, to feed my family. But I love it.
My favorite is the, I think it's like week 9 where it's the chicken confetti casserole.
Oh, yes. Good choice.
But do you want to know what I do with the, like, because it's like you like mix up mayonnaise and put it in there, which just sounds weird. Yeah, it sounds a little strange. What I do is I like put a ton of seasoning in the mayonnaise.
Ooh.
And so it gives it a little bit, like I've done like half of a ranch packet before, which is disgusting sounding, but like trust me.
I'm here for it. Yes.
So, but we'll just do that and mix it all up, or like dill, like just something that kind of settles into it, but it's a family favorite.
Oh, I'm so glad. And anybody listening, you can actually find that we published that was such a popular recipe from the book that I published it as a standalone on fedandfit.com. So if you want to Google confetti chicken casserole, Fed and Fit, it should come up.
Okay. That's so good. Okay. I am now holding your beautiful new cookbook, and this is just going to look too nice next to my last one because the last one, like I said, looks rough because I've used it. But tell me about this new cookbook. I told you like I need a tutorial with this one because I'm so set in my ways with the last one that I need to know, like, how do I use this? What's the best way to do it? And then I want to know your favorite recipe from it.
You got it. Okay, so it is different. Cook Once Dinner Fix is different from Cook Once Eat All Week, and it's easiest to talk about the differences by talking about why I even wrote this next book. Because I'll be honest with you, after I wrote Cook Once Eat All Week, I was like, done. Like, yeah. I'm going to walk away now. So many recipes. It's not that I want to be done working, but I was like, okay, there you go. Check, solved it. And it became clear, while folks really loved it, that I did not actually solve the problem that I thought I was solving. There were some wishes that had come through of people who were really using the book and really loved the book. They had really great feedback. And after enough of it came through, I was like, okay, crystal clear, I'll get back to work. And so the way some of the differences are, and some of the wishes that readers and users of Cook Once Eat All Week had was, I love it, but I wish I didn't have to have a prep day. Okay, a prep day really works for people who maybe are used to prepping, right? And if your prep in the past had been 5-6 hours, then this 1 to 2 hours of prep in Cook Once Eat All Week was a gift, right? It gave you time back. But there's a lot of people who still don't like to do that kind of prep. And so it was an additional ask instead of a give back. And so they said, is there a way to pull off an easier dinner time without a prep day? So that was one of the biggest ones. And so Cook Once Dinner Fix has no prep day. Instead, what I do is I incorporate the prep while you're making one meal that will work for the next. Another big wish that had come through was for complete meals. So in Cook Once Eat All Week, I really just kind of left folks hanging. I was like those the meal I just referenced, those stuffed buffalo avocados. Mm-hmm. That's it. And I've had a lot of people ask specifically about that meal. They're like, "Oh, great, but what do I serve this with?" I was like, "I don't know. I mean, whatever you've got in your house." Like, and that's not a helpful answer.
Yeah.
You know,
they're like, but you told me what to have for dinner. and this is it.
Exactly. This is it. I just have the avocado. And so I felt like I really kind of dropped the ball there. So I wanted to be able to provide people with a full picture of what a meal can look like. And that's in my wheelhouse. As a nutritionist, I'm constantly thinking about how do we build a plate that is nutritionally balanced by both macro and micronutrients. And then, so that was a huge consideration. So every dinner in Cookwin's Dinner Fix is actually a complete meal and has, in many cases, they're not difficult sides, but sides to help balance out a meal. So it'd be roasted vegetables and some wild rice, something to help you just really find, like, you're putting a complete meal together and you're not left having to fill in the blanks on your own, right? Because if the goal is to let me do the thinking for you or somebody else do the thinking for you to save you that mental energy, then I need to finish the job. So that was a big wish. So that's something else that you're going to find in Dinner Fix. And then one of the last big wishes, and this is kind of going to answer the core of your question, is how do I use this thing, is people said, a lot of feedback came in that although I love chicken and sweet potato and broccoli as much as the next person, I do still get tired of eating it in like three big meals throughout the week. And so folks were, you know, feeling a little constrained by those ingredients. And so what I did, and this is actually how I cook in my own home, to be honest, is what you're seeing in Dinner Fix, is we slimmed it down from three dinners to two dinners. And so everything is organized in a dinner series pairing. And the reason for that is because it's supposed to allow for more flexibility for you throughout the week. And so let's say if you want to make a home-cooked dinner four nights a week, all right, and that's kind of the cadence that I follow because we eat out a couple times. We will always have some sort of a macaroni or not. Well, yes, macaroni. Not that there's anything wrong with those, but I meant to say spaghetti and like a meat sauce, a red sauce that my girls just love. And then we go out, we have a family dinner on Sundays. And so, you know, four meals is what I'm looking to serve. And I found that to be the case for most people.
Yeah.
And so the way that this works is that you can choose two dinner series to fit into that slot and then alternate the days to mix up your nutrients. So let's say you choose a dinner series from the poultry chapter and you have meal one on Monday. And then you also choose a dinner series from the beef chapter and you have meal one beef on Tuesday. Then Wednesday is meal two chicken or poultry. And Thursday is meal two beef. And it allows you to just alternate and break things up. Just like in Cook Once Eat All Week, though, the meals are totally different from one another. Totally different flavors, totally different experiences. And so hopefully that scratched that itch. And then the very last thing that I put in there that is definitely different from Cook Once Eat All Week is a big request was to have seafood and vegetarian options.
Yeah.
Because Cook Once Eat All Week is just poultry, beef, and pork. And I was a little reluctant to do both of those. And they're some of my favorite series in the book. Did not think I would ever see, I'd see the day that I'd be like, the vegetarian chapter might be my favorite chapter, but it really might be. It turned out really well. So that allows people who are kind of wanting to lean into more of a flexible, flexitarian kind of diet, they can incorporate these dinner series throughout their week.
Absolutely.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by...
Hey, I want to break in real quick to tell you about a company and a product that I absolutely love. I've always loved having my nails done, and I really prefer to do them at home because, you know, like cost and convenience and all. I've used everything from the high-end polish to the nail stickers to press-ons, and they've all just missed the mark for me. Until now. Last year, I found Olive & June. Olive & June is a nail company that teaches you how to give the perfect at-home mani and pedi. They want you to feel beautiful, and they give you the perfect tools and polish to do so. They want you to have the best looking hands and toes out there. Their nail polish is top notch, and I personally had manicures last well past 10 days with little to no chipping. And don't even get me started on my pedicures. They last forever. I mean, come on. Their cuticle serum has stopped me from anxiously picking at my hands, and their nail strengthener has changed the shape of my nails.
with some of the best, brightest colors, really any polished color that would ever fit your fancy. Think that you would really like Olive & June. If you want to check it out, head to oliveandjune.com and for 20% off your order, use code JeanetteT20. That's JeanetteT20, the number 20. Let me know what colors you pick, or if you need any help choosing, hit me up in DMs. I'll help you. Okay, now back to this week's episode. I need to know, what does testing recipes look like for you? Because I know you have a team and I know you have a kitchen. I know you do all of these things, but like, how many misses do you get before you have a hit? And what does it look like?
I don't know why, but the Lord was prepping me maybe for this conversation on my drive to work today. But I was like actually thinking about that today, is how no food goes wasted. My family, we eat. Okay, so to answer your actual question, my recipe development process, I do most of it from home. Mm-hmm. And then if there's something that we're working on, like we're testing a bunch of different cake mixes, or we know that it's more down to a science, then we'll do that in the kitchen here. The kitchen here is more for like final production, cooking things, photos, videos, things like that. And then I do really all of my recipe development work at home, which means that my family eats all of the misses because I can't waste. I won't waste it. And I just wind up serving it to them, being like, mostly to my husband, because my girls will eat whatever. But I'll just say, hey, just FYI, I know it's off.
Yeah.
But I know this is dinner. I put extra sour cream on yours to cover it up.
Here's some ranch, cover that.
Exactly. And he's great about that. But I do the recipe development from home. I would say, so every dish that's in Cook One's Dinner Fix, I've made at least 4 times, if not more, because like I said, that's how I cook. And so I've been making a lot of those dishes in my own home for a long time. Mm-hmm. If it takes me longer to get right than that, I usually give up, which is why I don't personally author many baked goods, because it just takes me way longer.
Yeah. Do you think that's because that's the science aspect of it? Like, it's like all the things? I'm not a baker. I'm really not a cook, but
you sound like you're a cook. I think it's the precision. I tend to be a little more flutie-flu, a little more artistic. Let me just throw this in. I cook intuitively. Mm-hmm. And I develop recipes intuitively, and I build flavors in that way. Whereas baking is, I can't just halfway through a recipe say, oh, you know what would be cool? If I do this, because it changes everything. You have to play with one variable at a time if you're going to do it right, or have a more broad working understanding of how baking chemistry works, which I don't have. I know a little bit, but not as much as others.
Yeah, I follow your recipe. That's what I do. except when I don't. And my husband's always like, okay, what are we cooking? Let's do this. And I'm like, we're just throwing things together. And he's like, where's the recipe? I'm like, no recipe. And he's like, I hate this. He is like a recipe follower. And it makes me laugh. It's good. It's good. But there are times where I'm making like even stuff from your cookbook where he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like looking. I'm like, oh, I forgot a step. And he's like, that's not how it's supposed to go. It's fine. It's fine. A suggestion.
It's a guide. Unfortunately, that's how I treat baked goods, and that's just not always the case. So on Fed and Fit, any of the baked good recipes you see on there have been, those are guest articles by very smart recipe developers.
I love that. That's so smart. Yeah. That's so smart. What is something that you're still learning? I'm kind of over our, expertise. Like, I'm an expert in this field, so I am awesome. I'm kind of over that. I think we're lifelong learners, and I think especially like as we grow, we learn. So what's something you're still learning about cooking or food or your body's like fueling it and all of these things?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm with you. I feel like we're students of life, and I am never done learning. I still remember, and I feel like that was shaped greatly by, I have one of my grandparents, my papa, my dad's dad, I mean, it, well into his 80s, he, I would, we became very close toward when I got older. And I just remember he was like, you know what I learned today? Mm. And it was just, I don't know, it was just the way that he would frame that instead of being, instead of wanting to tell me, profess to me about all, the, yeah. which he still did, but in his own gentle way. It was more from a curiosity of the world perspective. Things that I'm still learning about, I mean, cooking. I feel like I'm learning new things about cooking and methods and textures and things like that every day. We did a cooking challenge earlier this year to just kind of, after COVID and quarantine, not after COVID, but after like the height of quarantine last year and cooking so much, I also hit kitchen burnout along with a bunch of other readers, I found out. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, let's get inspired again in the kitchen. So I tried new techniques. I had never used a sous vide before.
That was my next question for you.
Oh, yeah. And I loved it. It was so neat. And I mean, I had seen it when I worked, volunteered. I don't mean to make it sound fancier than it was. When I volunteered in a restaurant in my early 20s, I had played with a sous vide under direction of somebody else, but I had never really used one in my own home. It just felt too fancy.
Yeah.
And unapproachable to me. So just trying to lean into those things. Check my, I guess just try to check my thoughts and feelings around certain things, like my perception of the sous vide. Too fancy, too expensive, like too fussy. And let's say like, let's actually flush those out and try this on and see if I still really feel that way. So those kinds of things. I mean, that's in the kitchen, at least that comes to mind. I mean, I'm learning a little bit about everything everywhere. I did not know how to jumpstart my car the other day, and I was like, I guess I need to learn that.
I did learn that at a young age because I drove an 81 Monte Carlo, and oh. I would have to, like, get gas and stand at the gas pump, like, with everything hooked up, just like, can someone please help me? I did learn
that. Oh, my gosh.
So fun. Let's talk about the Instant Pot, because I feel like people are those there. I have friends who, like, on Prime Day, I bought a new Instant Pot because I wanted to take our old one and put it in our camper, and I wanted a new one. And my friends were like, you could have just had mine. I never use it. I don't like it. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, guys, I swear by my Instant Pot. Like, I use it many times a week. Like, even for, like, the silliest of things. Hard-boiled eggs, it's not a silly thing to do, first of all. Hard-boiled eggs in the Instant Pot is the only way to do it. I swear by it. They peel. I have gym friends who know. They peel like a dream in the Instant Pot. But my Instant Pot has a sous vide method now. And I need to know how to use it. But I also want to know your thoughts on the Instant Pot. Like, are you Instant Pot girl?
Oh, yeah, I am. I was also, not to bring up my mother-in-law so much, but we had a nice long weekend together. Yeah, she was great. but she was asking me. She said the same thing. She was like, I never use mine. And I used it last night to make cook this pork shoulder.
Yeah.
And she said, would you use it? Why would you use it? And she just, it's not something that she had when she was building her skill set in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. It's not something, I guess, that she had really incorporated, was that a use of a pressure cooker. I love mine. It is probably my most used kitchen tool. Before that, I used my slow cooker the most. But this has really nudged out my slow cooker quite a bit. I'll use my slow cooker a lot still during the cooler months. But I love it. And it's because I love efficient kitchens. Yeah. And I just, you know, as you know, like, that's really the heart of all of my work. Mm-hmm. Is to, how do we make dinner time as efficient as possible? Meaning I'm putting in the least amount of work for the most amount of results.
Yeah.
And the Instant Pot's such a great way to do that. And so I use it whenever I'm making any kind of a meat that I want to be shredded or softer, which is often, because I find that those are really easy to repurpose and work with. But I love it. I have not used the sous vide button on it though.
I think I'm going to soon. I just have to figure out a good recipe to try it on.
Yes.
I want to know, why does your time, or does your efficiency in the kitchen, does that make for a better time around the table? Is that like, is that your heart? Is that people will be gathering around their table a little bit more?
Yes. And that it's more of a, feels like more of a downhill slide instead of an uphill climb into dinner time. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that if you are, and this is, I've lived this life many times over, but constantly working to make a fresh meal every single night for dinner. And it takes a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of expense, a lot of cost of groceries, mm-hmm. right? And then I find, and that's also happens to overlap when I'm making dinner with the time that my kids, I have a one-year-old and a three-year-old, need me the most.
Yeah.
Right? And so it feels like a battle, not to be overly dramatic, but it feels like a battle to make sure they're okay, make sure I'm not burning dinner, pulling it all together, not dirtying every dish in the house, not hurting anybody in the process, right? Physically, like tripping over people and dogs. And then we get there and then it's like dinner's ready. And then, and on those really long, frustrating nights, I'm like, here's food, here's dinner.
Right.
Eat up, right? I was like, there's no joy in that, right? Who wants to have dinner with me? No, but I wouldn't want to have dinner with me at that point, right? And so my goal is to, how do we preserve that desire to sit down and come together as a family and give thanks for our day and be there for each other and just have this really centering, grounding daily experience. And one way to protect that is to protect how much time and effort I'm pouring into the meal itself.
Absolutely. I saw something, I can't remember who it was, one of my friends online posted, even if you only have 30 minutes for dinner, you should still gather for dinner. Or even if you only have 15 minutes, we should still gather. There's something about that, like, home mm-hmm. time. And the bigger your kids get, man, that home time goes quick. Or that's when they want to be doing things. And it's just interesting because I have bigger kids. And I remember that those moments of, like, y'all eat while you eat. I have to tackle all of this. So we're, you know, dividing and conquering in a sense. And now as they're bigger, I'm like, our oldest just started high school. So I'm like, okay, we have 4 years. We have 4 years of dinners. We have, you know, four more summers. Like that sort of like end of it. It's not the end, but you know, that like end of a season is looming. And I'm like, okay, dinner time is a thing now. We are making sure. And luckily, that's how we were both raised. My husband and I were both raised around the dinner table. And so it's a mm-hmm. thing for us. It's a staple for our family, but it does have to be met with a happy heart from mom instead of being like, well, I made y'all dinner tonight.
Yes.
Aren't you happy?
Yeah, you're welcome. Now, who's going to go wash the dishes? Oh, wait, I guess it's me. Like, there's so many ways I could turn that into a bitter experience. Yes. It's like, it's to your point, it's not just about the time aside that we get to come together as a family, which I'm with you. I'm also very passionate. Even if we're all bringing takeout together, it is devices off. Not that my three-year-old has a device, but
you know. We do, and that's sometimes the biggest thing.
I'm the biggest issue, exactly, especially because food is my work. And so it's like, let me snap this picture and then throw this into the living room. But, you know, sitting down together and having a happy heart, like it's the tone. It's not necessarily mostly in my family, in our life, in our perspective, it's not about what we're eating, but it's about how we're gathering and how we're meeting up with each other at the end of the day like that. And so it's great. And it's a wonderful thing to want to prepare a fabulous meal for your family. What a great thing to do. But I think it's an important thing to audit yourself on is, how are you feeling at the end of that? And are you able to still be present and have, like you said, a happy heart to welcome people to mealtime?
Yeah, I think that's so good. One of my favorite things to do is to do prep, like the prep times with friends. I think that's just fun and it helps out. You know, it cuts down some of that, like, I don't know, it's just a good way to spend time with friends.
I love it.
It's been fun. That was just a sidestep. I need to know, I really believe, even with cookbooks, I believe that we live our books. So I believe that you've lived writing out dinner mm-hmm. fix, and then you write it. But I do mm-hmm. believe the Lord counsels us as we write. Mm-hmm. So I would love to know if you had any keyboard counseling moments where the Lord spoke to you or God kind of like shook some things out of you as you wrote this book.
Oh my gosh, what a good question. Let me put myself back there. Yes. I mean, the answer is a resounding yes. I feel like the keyboard counseling, I've never thought of that before, but that's exactly how I write everything mm-hmm. Or show up on anything, is just by trying to stay open to guidance along the way. I Cook One's Dinner Fix, you know, yes. So, and I'm going to speak very frankly because I don't know how to tell half-truths. I don't have it in me, just so you know. If you ever want to know any kind of secret, I'm pretty much the easiest open book. So I got to work with a brand new publisher for this book, and it has been a really cool experience, and in a lot of ways has really elevated what I've been able to put out to help people. However, there was this in the early days of writing or of conceptualizing the book, in working with, so my prior publisher was a little bit more of a, do whatever you want, right? Mm-hmm. So I really just got to just do whatever I wanted. And I wrote a book that nobody had ever seen before. And it was like, when you talk to somebody about Cook One Seed All Week, you probably have to be like, this is not a normal cookbook, right? And my prior publisher, there wasn't a whole lot of rub up against that because I just didn't really have much of an agenda around it. And then this next publisher, although that they knew what I wanted to write an uncharacteristic book, there was still this desire to pull me towards producing something that spoke to the fancy cookbook people of the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I felt myself there. I spent weeks and months being like, feeling myself going in that direction of, I need to, if I'm going to be a part of this league, you know, in this publishing world and talk with all of these fancy food people, then I need to put out something that they like. And the conviction that I felt was like, that is not my job. That's not why I have been given all of the things that I have been given and the tools and the audience and the ability to connect with people. It's not to cater to those folks. It is to help people and just get dinner on the table a little bit easier, a healthy homemade dinner. And so what I found, the counseling that I felt like I experienced when I was drafting recipes was, although I wanted to write something that might impress a cookbook editor, right? At the end of the day, that's not my job. My job is to write something that's going to be helpful and useful and practical for the home cook. And so constantly having to kind of rework in the moment when I was really just putting pen to paper is when that conviction came out.
I love that. And it's such a hard trap for us to get in, especially as creators and people who are producing work for people, mm-hmm. yet shoulder to shoulder with other creators. I find myself being like, well, this will help them. Well, this will help them. It's like, no. My job is to help my friend. Like, mm-hmm. that is who I'm helping. Like, while I'm friends with these people next to me, like, I want to pull people up. I want to be, like, on their level and helping them in the trenches. I don't want to be, like, that fancy person that's like, this is how I did it. Come follow me. It's like, no, man.
Yes.
I'm just with you. Like, we're just friends. We're just working this up together. So, mm-hmm. I think you've done that. I think you have made a nice little cook out of me. Like, I really, really, like, feel like I'm serving my family well and with a happy heart when I know what's over dinner, when I know how I can show up by just doing what you've told me to do.
I love it.
So I'm so excited to cook from this, and I'm sure our Instagram friends will see me doing so in the coming weeks because I'm a sucker for it. I love it so much.
I hope it serves you well. I really do. Oh, it
absolutely will, Cassie. I have no doubt about it. Also, it's just pretty.
Isn't it pretty? I did not take those photos.
It's so pretty and well done. I'm just a big fan of it. So everyone needs to go get it. It is called Cook Once, Dinner Fix. And it is a great cookbook for your family. It's just going to elevate our meals. And it's good, healthy food that you just feel right out putting on the table. So I'm excited.
Thank you so much.
Cassie, this was so much fun. Tell us where we can find you, where we can buy your book, all the things as we wrap up.
Yes. Okay, so Cook One's Dinner Fix, you can find it pretty much through anywhere you might be thinking, I wonder if I can pre-order it there. You can. So Barnes & Noble's, Amazon, Walmart, actually IndieBound if you like to support smaller bookstores. So you can order the book through any of those outlets, and it makes no difference to me. So you choose your favorite. And then you can find me. Fed & Fit is, I try to keep it really simple. Fed & Fit is the website, fedandfit.com. And then I'm also the most active probably on social media over on Fed & Fit. And I'm doing a lot of demos right now. So it's kind of like how we talked through the book just now. It's one of those concepts that makes a little bit more sense to see and to watch somebody move through it sometimes than it does to read it or hear it. And so feel free to come check out a demo and see if it would be right for you.
That's so exciting. I'm going to go check out a demo. Like, I want to be sitting there. So Cassie, thank you so much for joining us for coffee. This was like a pure delight for my little heart.
Likewise. This was so fun. What a great way to start the week.
Okay. So did she sell you on meal prepping? Did she sell you cooking one meal and prepping for the next? Man, I really do love how easy her cookbooks make dinner time for us. As a mom that is working most of the day and then rolling into dinner time, and I just know what to cook because either I've cooked once and prepped all week, or I'm cooking one meal and that's prepping for the next meal. It's just, it's so great. It just makes my life in the kitchen a little bit easier. So I hope you'll go check them out. You can get both cookbooks in the link in the description of this podcast, or head to my Amazon storefront, which is linked in my Instagram bio. I hope that you will go over and thank Cassie over at Fed and Fit on Instagram. Tell her thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for making some great cookbooks and making our life around the table a little bit easier. Okay, friend, I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee.
Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.